To Yachid Bas Shalom Shmuel, Allah Shalom. So first off, I need to say that this is not an easy class for me. And I want to acknowledge a number of family members who have joined us tonight, and thank you. I see cousin Chana Hirschman, Rebbetzin Hirschman in Toronto. I see David Klein, who is Jessica's sister, and out in California. And, brother. And and I saw Rebelli Klein in Baltimore. So a little bit of a cross section. I also sort of in a way chose this week to do this because, you know, it's the 9 days and then a little bit of a mourning mode anyway for the destruction of the temples. And not that I needed any other help from the temples to mourn over Jessica, but I felt that the mood and the week was appropriate. This week's Torah reading just begins with the final days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela hadvarim. These are the words that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke and that he spoke to the Jewish people. And he was sort of recounting to them his life as being the leader of the Jewish people. And is giving the final charge to the Jewish people. So first I'd like to tell, some of you may know the story, I'd like to recount the story, how I met Jessica in the first place, because like the whole thing to me is still a little bit beyond belief. So what happened was I was asked to go to Washington, D.C. An organization flew me into Washington, D.C. to speak at the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. This goes back, obviously, a number of years back. I don't remember how many years ago it was. Probably somewhere around 10, I'm guessing, approximately. And I flew in, I had to go to Washington, D.C., downtown Washington, D.C., to the Holocaust Memorial Museum, but they flew me into, there's an airport that's about an hour away, and they said, do me a favor, like, if you can, try not to take the expense, like, don't take an Uber, whatever, it's going to be like $100, and if you can, yeah. So I went downstairs to the information in the terminal, and there's like an information booth Sunday morning. I couldn't daven before, because we had just changed the clock. This was on a Sunday, and I think it was a long weekend, whatever, they just changed the clock. So I couldn't daven before I got a plane on Toronto, because it was too early, and so now I figured, okay, I'm daven in Washington, D.C. Fine. So I'm by the information booth, and on comes a lady over to me, introduces herself, and says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to the Holocaust Museum in Washington. She says, okay, you know, I actually live in Virginia, and I therefore also have to go to downtown Washington. I guess that's where the train is or whatever the case is. So I'll come with you. I'll show you. She says, and she turns to the guy at the booth and says, how do we get on this bus or that bus, and how much does it cost? And it turns out she helped me get on a bus. I think it cost us to get downtown Washington was about $5. Like that was it was a long bus ride. So we're sitting on the bus ride, introduce myself, what's your name? Jessica Klein, gives me your business card, TV producer, blah, blah, whatever, yeah, yeah. And I go, like, you know, it's nice, but didn't mean that much to me. She was talking about the Holocaust, and then she mentioned that she was writing a play, or she had written a play on the Holocaust, and she wanted to tell me about her play. And on this hour plus bus ride, she told me all about this play that she wrote, an astounding play. And then I'm sitting there, I'm getting the opportunity of understanding of what kind of a person I'm sitting across from. Such a beautiful and special and articulate person. And you can tell honesty, you know, all of us here, we're all in an honest program. Honesty is above all. You can see the honesty coming out of Jessica. And what she was telling me about herself and how she got to this idea of this Holocaust play. So then she says to me, you know what? I've never been to the Holocaust Museum. I've never been to a Holocaust Museum. I said, you know what? And I said, what time is your train? She said, 4 p.m. This is 9 a.m. in the morning. She said, I got a whole day to kill. She said, I will give you a tour. I will take you. Not that I was in that particular Holocaust Museum, but being on trips and March of the Living, etc., I know a thing or two about Holocaust education. I said, I will take you through the Holocaust Museum. I'll get you. I don't have a ticket. Don't worry about it. I'll get you in. We go right to the front door, but the line of the rabbis coming through. They let me in. Psh, fine. So I said, I had to daven. So she says, you know, I'm going to go work on my play. I'm going to go to the coffee shop and work on my play. You daven. Fine. Did that. There's more to the story. Cutting it short. We get together later, and I give her a tour of, we go to the start at the top floor. We work our way down, and we spent many hours together. And she was fascinated with Holocaust, especially because she was doing this play. She was fascinated. I told her that I spend a lot of time with addicts and alcoholics, which caused her ears to perk. And then we sat down in one of these rooms, and we started talking, as they would say in Hebrew, tachlis, you know, like getting to the meat of the matter. And we kept thinking, and we said, here's a business card, pleasure meeting you. I went on my way, I had to go speak for my group. She went on her way. She eventually went back to Virginia. She told me her husband was not well, and I don't remember exactly why we continued on from there, but I do remember that a short while afterwards, her children, her daughter, lived in Toronto. Her daughter, Shira, lived with her husband, Shaya, 3 kids. The youngest was a baby at the time. So I don't know how old he is now, but that would tell me how many years ago it was. This happened a few years later. I apologize. It was a few years later. I was on my way. She told me that her husband was not well. Her second husband was not well. I think Yitzchak was his first name. And I was on my way to my son's wedding. And there's a special blessing to daven for someone who's not well by the chuppah. So I called her up and I said, please tell me again your husband's name. I'm on my way to my son's wedding. The chuppah's coming up. Well, daven, we'll say tefillah for your husband. And I guess she was taken by that. And a short while afterwards, she called me up to say that they had passed away and that her daughter was all alone in Toronto, if I can go and visit her daughter. They lived there. He was the Chabad campus rabbi, University of Toronto. So she told me the address. I went downtown and I visited her daughter. And since then, our relationship, I guess because I made that effort, just between Jessica and myself, just continued to blossom. And we kept in touch more and more often. And I told her what I wanted to do here, how I was working with addicts and alcoholics. And she wanted to be a part of it. And whatever I said that I want to do, she said, let's do more. She would push me. Let's do more. We can do more. And then I started introducing her to people. And then I brought her in. Oh, actually, she lived. Then she eventually moved to, because her kids were here. So she was in Toronto 1 year for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I had her come out. And she was one of the featured speakers at the Chai Center on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Blew everybody away. Made such an impression. And again, just to encapsulate when COVID hit and things went on Zoom. I said, ha ha ha, because I didn't have online meetings. I never even understood such a concept. So now that COVID hit, I said, Jessica, you're in. I'm not leaving you behind. And she came every single day, every single meeting. We made, let's make another meeting. Let's make it. And then I filled up the whole schedule, a whole week. There's multiple, and sometimes some days there are multiple meetings per day. And then she came up with this brainstorm. We should start a women's meeting. I said, Jessica, all yours. Run with it. And she did. Another WhatsApp chat, and she was a firestorm, an absolute firestorm. And between her moving and going, moving to Toronto, and then moving back from Toronto back to LA, and then, you know, there are very few people in this world that have made an impression on me as much as Jessica has. And I don't know how many people, I'm sure she had a lot of people in her life. I know she had a lot of people in her life. I don't know how many people she called rabbi, but I'm honored that I was one of the ones. I'm sure she had many people that she called rabbi, or had many rabbis, but I was certainly one of them. And she would call me on a regular basis about various things in Jewish law. And she would constantly ask me, what about this? And what about that? And we would discuss everything. Anything and everything. It's funny, you know, as I would read the news sometimes, then now all of a sudden, because, you know, she's in Hollywood, I'd see a headline. So-and-so, whatever, from TV producer, just passed away at, you know, dead age, whatever. And I say, Jessica, by the way, I saw in the news that somebody in Hollywood said, oh, yeah, I knew him. Yeah, sure, we used to this, we did that. I knew him. Like she knew everybody. She knew everybody. But if one thing that was so important to her was her Judaism. And she let everybody know that. Eile hadvarim, these are the words. There are so many words, so many text messages that I have of memories of Jessica, who no doubt to me is a pillar of the Chai Center as we see it today. She literally pushed me to have this many people on a Zoom call. She pushed me and she pushed me and she did the work herself. She only pushed me to do the work. She did work herself. Yeah, you should do this and that. Yeah, you should do that. And then came along her diagnosis. They're tough words. I don't remember exactly what date the English day was she passed away, but she sent me a text on, she wrote me a text on July 3rd. Exactly a month ago today. Hi, just wanted you to know that I've stopped all treatment and called in hospice. They delivered a hospital bed yesterday. I'm not alone. My housekeeper, caregiver, stays the night. The plan is she'll stay 5 nights and she or my daughter, stepdaughter will cover the other two. I'm bedbound now, very weak. Pain meds keep me comfortable. Thanks for everything. You changed my life in so many ways. I really need to echo those words. Because Jessica, You changed my life in so many ways. You changed the Chai Center. We are not the same. When Jessica first called me and told me of her diagnosis, I told her the following. I never shared this with anyone other than Jessica. I told Jessica I had a conversation with God, and I told God that, God, it's either Jessica or the Chai Center. You take Jessica, I'm done with the Chai Center. I cannot continue the Chai Center without Jessica. Again, she provided so much. Can't do it. So if you want to take her, take her. I'm done. So my friends, what do I do? So I thought about it long and hard. And I thought that what needs to happen is that the Chai Center really needs to move forward in such a way that the Chai Center as we know it now has to take on a whole new dimension. Not a whole new dimension, but move forward in such a way, bring in new people and do things in a way that Jessica would want them to be. Her son-in-law, Shia, is not able to be with us today. But when I spoke to him during the Shiva, he was telling me that Jessica was of the type, like, she knew exactly what was going on. She knew that her end was coming on and it was quick. And she said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. I will always be there with you. So, Hashem, if that is indeed the case, then we have to leave it that way. Jessica is with us. Jessica is not gone. Jessica is gone only if we don't move forward. And I have no doubt that Jessica would want each and every single person to take upon themselves to move the Chai Center forward. And we're going to do that. I'm going to make sure we do. And you know what happens when I make sure that you do. I'm going to make sure that you do. And it'll be in her memory, in her name, Jessica's name will always be a part, affiliated and associated with the Chai Center. On the chaicenter.ca, our website, is her picture and a little bio. I will change that to now reflect the current situation that she's no longer with us, but she will always remain on our website. I'm sure as time moves on, there will be more and more things that will come up, that will go, and we'll say, oh yes, oh yes. And I'm happy to share so much that she has written to me. On a text message she sent to me. You're gonna laugh, but I know from our Sunday class that you will not say that I told you. And then she goes on to tell me a whole story again, so beautifully written in her unbelievable style of writing. She goes on to tell me this whole long text message. We talked about everything. Jessica, I'm going to miss our conversations. Hashem should help. I know this is not at the time of the funeral. This may sound like a eulogy. To me, it is. I wasn't able to be there in California. But on behalf of everyone at the Chai Center, we hope in our prayer and we pray that you are able, I'm sure you will, go to Hashem, go to the Kisei HaKavod and say, God, you know, Teshukunrech made a pact with you. So I have to stay alive. I have to continue to help the Chai Center. And I'm confident that her merit of the background, where she came from, and how much she grew as a Jew in life, which she shared the story with all of us on those high holidays when she spoke, of her stories of what it was like going to synagogue, temple, synagogue, whatever, when in her younger days, and where she grew up, and where she went to the end of her life, and how she looked at Judaism with a whole new outlook. And those merits, and in moving forward, and in helping people, that it should be a zechus, it should be a merit. Of course, for all the Jewish people, but especially for every single one of us here at the Chai Center. I'm sure there are many of you that would like to share a memory or two with Jessica. And I'm going to open the floor. But Amir Tashem, Bila Mavas Lanesa Chumacha Hashem Ulakim Dima Miel Koponim, that we will once again reunite. And as you told me in this text message, where is it again? As she said, you're going to laugh, but I know from our Sunday class, you will not say, I told you so. And so Jessica, I'm going to say, you're going to come back to me and say, I told you so. Amir Tashem. Tehei Nishmasa Tzrura B'Tzrura HaChayim. May her memory be bound with the many souls of the eternal. Let it be a blessing for all of us and all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen.
So first off, from the family members, Rebbetzin Hirschman, I don't know, Rebelli, if you have the ability or if you'd like to, David, if you'd like to say a few words, just please unmute yourself and give you a moment, and then by all means, please share with us. David, I see you're unmuted, so go ahead, please.
Thank you, Rabbi. So beautifully put your words. Along with me, my wife, Pam, who we were all very close, not just close emotionally, but close physically. When Jessica moved to Toronto, from Toronto to Los Angeles, when she had made the decision, she called me. She said, I want you to go look at a place. It's around the corner from you. I said, oh, are they having a showing? Are they an open house? Do you have the landlord going to come? No, just go peek in the window. I want to know if I can fit a dining room table at the end of this big room. And then walk it off and tell me how big you think the kitchen is and where I can put And I thought to myself, people are going to see me looking into a window in Beverly Hills and they're going to call the police. But if it meant that Jessica had a chance to live around the corner from us, which she did for years, the last years, I would have done anything. And it was such a gift to have her. Every morning, every Shabbos morning, I looked forward to either going to an early minyan so that I could come afterwards and speak with her, or a late minyan, so I would go before and speak with her. And it was just, I wanted to share a moment at the Shiva of which there were at least 30, but I'll share one because I think it's appropriate. You know, God some ways, and sometimes God drops hints. And if we're perceptive and if we're watching, we pick up the hints in life that God leaves us. And sometimes God drops sledgehammers. He has no time for hints. He wants you to know, and he's going to just tell you right out. Jessica was one of God's sledgehammers. She was, I don't want to say brutally honest, I want to say mercifully honest. And if she loved you and you asked for advice, and many people did, if I said to her, if I said something like, you know what, I want to quit my job and I want to go, you know, do something weird or whatever it was, some people would give you the answer, oh, that's an interesting idea. Let's think through that. Let's make a list of plus and minuses. Not Jessica. Jessica's response, if she felt this way, was, that's a horrible idea. Why would you do that? And like I said, it's mercifully honest, because if she loved you and if you she knew you loved her, she never thought for a minute that that would be offensive, and it never was. And I've talked to people about this at the Shiva, and they all loved that about her. Rabbi, you talked about her honesty. This, if you wanted her advice, she didn't want to waste time, and she didn't want you to think for any, there should be no obscurity, there should be no ambiguity. She was going to tell you what she thought. And usually when you took that advice, you did very well. She has a stepson who has two boys. Now, there's been a lot of, you know, kind of back and forth with Judaism and how kind of her life has changed, and, you know, encouraging her children and her grandchildren, her stepchildren and her grandchildren. She loved all of them and saw them all the time and was very much a part of their lives. And, you know, here, they probably have this in Toronto. There's an organization called Misaskim that brought us Shiva chairs and folding chairs and Sfar and Sidurim and a small, what I could just describe as a small, very tall, thick briefcase that had in it a small Sefer Torah. And her grandson, whose name is Asher, they didn't choose it as because it was a Jewish name, it was just because they liked the name Asher. He came up to me and he said, can you tell me what's inside this box? What's inside this case? And I thought to myself, Jessica, I got the message loud and clear. And I said to him, do you know what a Torah is? And he didn't, even though he's gone to a Sunday school or a Jew religious school or a part to whatever class he's going to. And I felt like I tried to explain. All I could say was, we're Jews and God gave us these words and he gave it only to the Jewish people. And when your father was 13, he read from this. And when his father was 13, he read from this. And when you're 13, you'll read from it, and I will be there. And a little bit later, I realized that we have a small little replica. I didn't feel that it was appropriate for me to open it and unfurl it and show it to him. But we have a little replica Sefer Torah, and I brought it to show him. And before I saw him, I saw his father. And I said to his father, look what I brought for Asher. But it's not for me to show him. It's for you to show him. And you can't say no to me. You have to show it to him, and you have to make sure that he knows what it is. And his father took him and sat down with him and showed it to him. And then I went over and I said, have you seen this? I said, do you know that the you know your ABCs? The Jews have ABCs also. It's called Alephbet. And he said, I know Alephbet. I said, what do you know about Alephbet? Do you know what an Aleph is? I said, point to me. Where's an Aleph? And he pointed to me. And I said to him, why, how do you know what an Aleph is? He looked at me and he said, my name is Asher. The sledgehammer was dropped. Jessica, I am telling you, Rabbi, your words were never more accurate. Jessica is not here, but she's not gone. So you should continue with your work, knowing that Jessica is looking out for all who she loved. And she's just lining up sledgehammers for Hashem to drop.
Wow, David, thank you so much for those beautiful, heartfelt words. Rebbetzin Hirschman, would you like to say something?
I'm truly not prepared right now.
Okay. And, no problem.
I'm very, I'm taken in. I didn't realize at all that how, what a important role my cousin Jessica played in this fabulous, fabulous organization. May Hashem give you all the koach and strength to continue and in her zchus, in her memory. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And Rebelli, I don't know if there's something you'd like to come in and share as well, but I do want to tell you that one thing. I have a picture up of Jessica on my screen. I'm going to share my screen so that when everybody else gets a chance to share, we'll have her picture up on the screen. But one of the things that Jessica was so insistent on, says, you have to call my cousin Ellie. You're going to like him. Call my cousin Ellie. And then about, I remember what time, I think it was Hanukkah time. I was in Baltimore. I said, okay, fine. I'm calling. And you know, I didn't know. And I called, came over. We met in person. We realized what a chash of a cousin that she has. And we also, like Jessica always said, would always tell me, I'm not sure what it is between us. She would say, you know, to me, and I felt the same sentiments. But there's some connection, there's some higher connection, we just don't know what it is. And Rebelli, I feel the same way towards you. And as a texter, you may have to show next time in Baltimore. May Hashem want to sit and learn with you. I think that would be a big schus. At least Baltimore I get to. California I don't get to. Or else, David, I would sit and learn a little bit with you as well. But I think learning Torah, sharing some words of Torah, is something that Jessica certainly would have wanted. She was so insistent. So if you'd like to say a few words, then just to address us here, that's fine. And if not, I'm going to get with some hands up. I don't know if you have, I know you're on phone. I know that your internet, you told me you don't have a microphone on your thing. So I don't know if you can even get in to be able to speak. But if you can, if you unmute, then you can just speak. And if not, we'll start with our class here that would like to share as well. We'll start with, okay. Ellie. If you're speaking, we can't hear you, so I'm not sure. You may have to do it from your phone. I see that you may be coming in on the phone. Could be from your the one that you unmuted. It won't work, but your other one might. In the meantime, we'll start with Brian. If we hear some voice, you're speaking, then we'll give you the opportunity. In the meantime, Brian, then Tracy.
Hi, I'm Brian. I never got a chance to meet Jessica in person, and unfortunately, I am not female, so I wasn't allowed on the women's meeting. However, the impact that, and I remember the night that the rabbi got a text and he was stunned. I've known the rabbi for over 2.5 years now, and I've never heard him I've never not known my rabbi to not be able to speak. And he had to take a few minutes to compose himself. That is how important that Jessica obviously was to Rabbi Kunreich and to our group. And yes, I'm looking at her picture now. And as she would come on, again, our meetings were sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning. And she would come on to the meetings because she wanted to be there. And I am truly grateful to have known her. And yes, her memory will live on in all our hearts. And I'm gonna ask a lot more questions about her with my rabbi, because she was obviously a very special person. Thank you for allowing me to share my love for Jessica.
Thanks for sharing. Herb, Judy?
Thanks. Thanks very much. I was there. We were there that first High Holiday service when Jessica spoke, and it was impressive, life-changing. And she always made a great impression on me every time she spoke. I had the honor during the pandemic lockdown to host quite a few meetings. And when Jessica came on, she added so much to those meetings. Truly from the heart, added so much to people who were suffering. And she gave them great comfort. I know that for a fact. To the family, I hope you find comfort and acceptance in the reality of this. And I know I'll miss her very much.
Yes. I'm Judy, and I have to say that I just loved having Jessica with us. It was so special at all the meetings. She had so much wisdom and knowledge, and I was just shocked at some of the things that she said that were so meaningful and changed my whole way of thinking. And when she wasn't at the meetings, which was very rare, I would miss her. I'd miss her terribly. And I'd send her a message and ask her why weren't you there? And she always responded, and she was like so loving. She just was pouring love out to everybody. And I'm just so sad to have her not with us now, but the rabbi said, she'll always be with us. And those are her words. So thank you for allowing me to express my feelings about how special Jessica was. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Karen, I saw Karen on here before. Karen, are you here?
Yes.
Karen, how do you unmute your when you're on the phone, when you're doing it, when you're coming in on the phone, how do you unmute? What do you press to unmute yourself?
I think six to unmute, I believe.
Again, it's star six.
It should tell you, I think it's star six.
Star six. Okay, so Rebelli, do you want to try that, please? If you can hear me, I think you can. Star six. There you go. Ah, there we go. Thank you, Karen.
Okay, first of all, thank you, Father Kunrath, for hosting this recurring for Jessica, as well as your friendship, your relationship, your mentorship of Jessica all these years. I used to hear about you throughout the years, but of course Jessica left out her role in what you do. She just would tell me how much she valued and she cherished that relationship that she had with you. And yes, thank you for coming to my house that day in Baltimore to connect the three parts of the triangle, if you will. Jessica and I and my cousin Chani Hirschman and David were all first cousins. Our fathers were brothers. Jessica grew up in a little bit of a different situation than I think most of the family. Most of the family was religious, very much so. And Jessica, throughout the years, I think it probably mostly started after her father's patira, the reconnection with the rest of the family. Not that there was a divide, just demographics and different things played in, but and she embraced everybody, and everybody in turn returned that love that she gave out. The Jessica was, I'm going to use a different word than honest. I'm going to use the word real. Amiti, you would say in Ivrit, Lashon HaKodesh. Everything about her was real as it gets. Her thoughts, her feelings. She, as was mentioned, she didn't fluff things, and she didn't couch them in bubble wrap or in what would be maybe be politically correct. If she held back, it was only because she was careful of other people's feelings. But that nida, that attribute that she had, that she was so real, and she didn't run away from the truth, and she embraced that as well. I think I can speak for my cousins. It was only a matter of time that she herself would become religious, because Hashem is the only real thing in the world, Hashem and His Torah. And when a person is real and with themselves and with the world around them, they're going to be drawn to that truth. And sure enough, we watched it happen. We watched her develop. We watched her grow closer and closer to Hashem. But I will tell you that even before she fully embraced a Torah way of life, but she had a connection with Hashem. And she would talk to him, and she would talk about him. And her whole manner of speech, very often, excuse me, you would talk to her, and we would sometimes forget that she wasn't, but she wasn't religious yet, because she spoke in such a real connection to Hashem. When she got her diagnosis, you know, was where Hashem gave her the opportunity for her neshama to shine in all its greatness, the way she accepted Hashem's decision for what she needed next in her life was an inspiration to everybody in how we should view our relationship with Hashem and how Hashem loves us, and the betachon, the trust in Hashem as a parent, as a loving parent who would never do anything but what's best for their child, even though sometimes the child doesn't understand it. She was mekabel her yisurim ba'avo. We don't look for yisurim, we don't look for pain and trials and tribulation, but when it happens, we know it's tailor-made for us to grow closer to the Torah and to grow closer to Hashem. And how many times she told me on the phone how she feels Hashem is with her and Hashem is holding her hand, and she accepts it, and she accepts it. She accepted it with such a calmness that I was blown away. She, just stepping back a moment, you know, I always look forward to her phone calls, and I look forward to myself making those phone calls, because she connected with you, whoever it was. And when I say she connected with me, I mean, any individual that she spoke to. Again, that attribute, that mida of being real, and her neshama would connect with your neshama. And she had an uncanny ability to be misameach with humor. Her laughter was so genuine, and it was a full-bodied laugh that only comes from when a person is in touch with themselves, in touch with everyone else. Again, she was an inspiration to the whole family, all of us that was Zaycha that merited to be close to her. No, she will not be forgotten. Yes, her lessons will continue within all of us. And as each and every one of us who's listening, and even those that are not listening, when we think about her and we say to ourselves, you know what, I can do that too, or I can do some of that. I learned something from her. I can make some change. I can make a little bit of a growth. I could take a little bit of a step forward. That will keep Jessica alive, and that also will be a tremendous zechus of merit for her in Shemayim, as her merits keep on increasing through all of us, and especially her beloved children, grandchildren, as they grow, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu should send us all the nechama, because I think we all need it, not only in this time, as Rabbi Kunreich mentioned, the 9 days, but specifically, you know, nechama for loss of Jessica, such a dear and special neshama.
Thank you very much again for those beautiful words, and I look forward to meeting you on my next. Once again, my next trip back to Baltimore. Okay, from our class, Vic, is it? I'm not sure if your hand is. Yes.
No, it's a mistake. I don't know why it comes on by itself.
Okay, no worries.
I will just make a comment. I didn't really know her that well, but I thought when she shared in the classes. It was phenomenal to listen to her. So I didn't really realize the effect that she had on you and all these people, but I can see it now. I can see why. And I used to miss her when she didn't come to the class, because she was so insightful, and she made beautiful comments to people to help them when they share. So that's my 2 cents. Thanks
for sharing, Sandy. And then Tracy. Sorry, just the order that's coming up on my screen this way.
There it's unmuted. First of all, my sincere condolences to the family. It's a tremendous loss. I feel so honored to have met Jessica. When you brought her to the High Holidays, I was an absolute captivated audience along with everybody else who was there. And we couldn't wait for the next High Holiday for her to come back and embrace it and share her journey and how she transitioned, how she changed. There were times I actually got to meet Jessica at her daughter's home, because it's not too far from where I live, and I was really thrilled to do that. But there were times during meetings where I would text her with some thought and she would text me back. It was like she read my mind. She knew what I was thinking. And we just laughed. I mean, we just laughed about different things. She was just so courageous, powerhouse of a voice, absolute powerhouse. And I think that we were really very lucky having the women's meeting, because we got to see her twice in action. I mean, the regular high group, but when she was in the women's meeting, she, you know, you talk about brutally honest. I loved, sometimes it was scary. You didn't know what she was going to come out and say to you, but her honesty was just unbelievable. She would say things that you were thinking about. And even in your meetings, in the high meetings, I'm sitting there and you would be talking away and this and that, whatever, serious topic, whatever it was. She would just come around the back door to the front door and say, "You know what, Rabbi, I don't think I could look at it that way, and I'm not too sure about it." And I'd say, gosh, she just took the words right out of my head. She just said what she had to say. It was like something so raw and energetic and gutsy. And she was so sweet and gentle under it all too. So I'm going to miss her tremendously. But I'm so glad that we'll continue this, and she will be honored in so many ways. Such a courageous individual. We had so much to share in email over the years too. So that I kind of hold very personal. What can I say? Thank you for this meeting, and thank you for everything that, how we all met, how you met, was just magic. She's just a star. She's a sparkling star that will not be forgotten. No way. That's
all. Thanks for sharing. As I was going through my text messages, David, I'm going to ask you a favor. She sent me one time a text message about another cousin, Emily Merkin. If you can, at one point, just send me that phone number for Emily Merkin, I would appreciate it. Thank you. All right, Tracy, let's go. We have a number of hands up, so we'll ask everyone to just sort of keep relatively short, to give everyone an opportunity.
All right, I will try and curb my natural tendencies. It is no coincidence that Rabbi, your remembrance of Jessica started off with the portion about these are the words, and Hashem spoke the word. Spoke the world into existence. And our Jessica was a writer and a producer. She created things. She created worlds with her words, and she produced them. And she gave life. She gave hi to all, you know, characters, and she gave life with long with you to the High Center. And that's why I like to call the High Holidays, not the High Holidays. And I know that being in that first Rosh Hashanah that I was there, I felt at that point that I was in a community. I was really, really influenced and like everybody. And I'm a I'm a word person. That's my love language, so to speak. So I really connected with my beautiful friend here that I'm looking at, and we had some similar, you know, some similar things, some similar hammers that dropped on us, and I'm grateful that I'm still here. I'm gonna miss her, but she inspired me in so many ways, to your beautiful family, Jessica, that's here, and ones that aren't. I just want to extend my deepest condolences. May you be comforted amongst, you know, your family and your friends and all of Jessica's friends, and we'll miss her. May her neshama have the highest aliyah. And I know that she's there. And just a really quick thing I'm sharing. Today is not the yahrzeit, but I'm remembering someone, my mother today. And so this is a very poignant day for me. And I'm really grateful that I could be here of service. And it's a merit to my mother's memory as well that I'm able to memorialize Jessica, this beautiful soul. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. Hi, Maren.
Hi, thanks for letting me share. Just less than a minute. I think Jessica's last time, if I'm not mistaken, was June 21st. Last time I heard from her was March 18th. Jessica was made to very bold and powerful impactful statements to someone who's out of town. First week I was in the recovery group, I got very anxious. Stepped on the accelerator, put me in my place. Never going to forget it. It made a very powerful, bold, and impactful impression on me as a person, someone out of town, someone orthodox. In addition to that, she also was, I was chasing her in terms of alcohol abstinence. And I remember that. We had a cat and mouse back and forth, but whenever I spoke to Jessica, I reached out to her. She was always there, always present. She always gave a background, and I realize now, looking through the old messages, she's the only one I still have. And she actually is the one who introduced me to her, who's my sponsor today, which is something I'll never forget. And I just hope that her neshama, you know, she should have an aliyah, and she, you know, I get a chance to make her proud. Because in the minimal time that I knew her, which was just over a year, she just made such an impression on me as a person. The strength and character to just keep pushing forward and keep going with everything she's got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing. Devorah, then Carol.
I got it. Sorry. I just also be short. I did not get to know Jessica as well as I would have liked to, but I have to say that when I, you know, joined the Chai group, and she just reached out to me and called me and made me feel so welcome. And actually she even said some, like everyone, you know, like was said about her, some very wrong points to me were at that point, at the moment when they came, wasn't very happy. It hurt, I guess. I wasn't happy with what she said, but I knew it was true. It was really very true. But we had like a nice, I did connect with her, again, not as much as I wanted to, but I always enjoyed hearing her prayers. She was so on target with everything. It was just, to me, amazing. And also, she reached out so much to so many different people. It was, and helping them, it was just, I was always amazed at her whole, you know, at her whole demeanor. And we even were able to connect a little bit because, you know, she said she had rheumatism in Lakewood, and she hoped one day she'd come there, which unfortunately is not going to happen, and we would get together. And we shared some background stories together and laughed together. It was really a pleasure, really something special that I feel that I joined this group and was able to get to know her. And I'm very grateful for whatever advice she did give me, some good advice, and whatever advice I got from her, will always stay with me. I just, you know, and I do like, and I, she'll be, I'll miss her. And her Neshama should have, her Neshama should have an Aliyah, and the family that's on this meeting, and those, you know, that will hear about this meeting, you know, they should be comforted. And she should just be there to keep the Chai Center going, which she will. And I'm just glad that I have become a part of this special center. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Devorah. Before we get to Carol, I just want to say that Arlene was not able to be with us, but she wrote something that she asked me to read. Hi, my name is Arlene. I actually never met Jessica in person. Her presence at any meeting of the Chai Center that I also attended made me pay attention and take notice to what she had to say. She said a lot, expressed herself articulately, and usually had an interestingly different slant or take on things. If something delicate needed to be said, Jessica's words were well chosen, spoken straight from the heart, and delivered in a tolerable way that was heard properly and accepted by all. Who knew that her words were often heard before on TV? But these were the immediate responses right in the moment and off the cuff. I've been to other groups in the past where someone was leaving for whatever reason, perhaps moving, and we went around the room and gave everyone the opportunity to share something that they were going to take away from this person's absence and influence. I never got the opportunity to share with Jessica directly what she taught me, but I'd like to tell her family now what I will always hold on in my heart about her. Jessica was, and in capital letters, smart, clever, funny, and a straight shooter. I was a witness many times to her incredible diplomacy and candor. I've always thought to myself that I'd like to be more like that. Her insatiable desire to do the right thing for herself, her family, and friends was paramount. Whatever she put her mind to do is what she did. I feel privileged to have known her, loved her, and was able to call her my friend. May her soul be bound up in the bond of life and endure, a source of blessing to all who knew and loved her. Amen. Most sincerely, Arlene. Okay. Carol, Gail, Yaakov, and then that we'll call it a meeting for there, and we'll wrap up.
Thank you. I first met Jessica over the phone. It was during COVID. It was on July 19th, 2020. During the phone call, I took notes. And just before that, Rabbi Heshy said to me, there's someone I want you to meet and to get to know. And she's like a dynamo. He said, you'll like her. Well, Rabbi, you are so right. I liked her, admired her, brilliant. So that's only 2 years that I have known her, and yet she's made such an impact. I had the opportunity to actually go see Jessica in person. For that, I'm forever grateful. And I was visiting LA. My mother lived in California, so my mother and I, we made plans to go have lunch with Jessica. She said, I'll make lunch, a beautiful, you know, kosher dairy lunch. I said, no, we're not putting you out. We're going to go pick up something from the deli near you. We go knock on the door of the deli. There's a man inside. Okay, open up. We want to order some lunch. And he's like, not open. Not only were they not open, we didn't know. They were closed for business. So I called up Jessica. I felt awful. I said, Jessica, I'm so sorry. We're not able to bring lunch. Where else can we go? What can we bring? What can we order? Nope, I'm making lunch. For the 10 minutes that we took us to get from this deli to her place, she had made this amazing spread out of nothing. And again, very grateful for her generosity and her big heart to do so. I just wanted to share those two little stories about her. I wrote a tribute in honor of her. And I just that, but straight from the heart and meaningful. A tribute to Jessica Klein of blessed memory. It is with great sadness and a heavy heart that Jessica, in name only, be removed from our Chai Center WhatsApp groups. Her beautiful neshama, presence, guidance, keen wit, intelligence, wry sense of humor, wisdom, inspiration, strength, big heart, and courage will remain with each of us forever in our hearts. In our hearts. Jessica was the best storyteller I have ever known, and I clung to her every word. She was the brainchild and founder of this very women's recovery group that we have and still have 2 years ago that we're all part of and continue to benefit from. She saw a need for it amongst the high women and created a solution to fill that need. I feel that I've been most blessed and honored to have shared the same space with her in our meetings and have gleaned even a little bit from her many pearls of wisdom. To Jessica, you will be dearly and deeply missed by all of us at the High Center. Thank you, Jessica, for your exuberant presence and for the gift of you. I'm a better person for having known you. We are all better for having known you, for having had you in our lives. You live on right here in each and every one of us and at the High Center. My deepest condolences to the family. Miss you, Jessica.
Thank you so much. Gail?
Thank you. My name's Gail Cantor from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Jessica and I live the furthest away from each other, but we're both part of the High Center. And she was the first one, after I spoke to Rabbi Heshy, when he reached out to me after there was a medallion, I couldn't think what it was called. And I wish someone mazel tov in this medallion, not realizing that this was part of, I didn't even realize where I was going for this person's medallion. That's the best way of putting it. All I was given was this Zoom link. And I knew this person was Jewish, so I wished them mazel tov. And I didn't even know I was at the High Center. And then a few people after I shared reached out to me privately in the chat. And Jessica was one of them. And I really didn't say that much. I was just starting on my journey of recovery. I'm getting a little verklempt because she made a very big impact on me. Our wish was always to meet in Toronto and connect. And Jessica and I had our own little private WhatsApp group. It turned out that when I was at my lowest of lows, I was at my niece's wedding at the Beverly Hills Hotel. But I didn't know Jessica then. I wish I did. And we shared, when I told her where we stayed for our Airbnb and everything that I shared, all we kept saying is, why didn't we know each other then? We could have shared so much together. We could have been there for each other, but it wasn't meant to be. But she was on my, we were on our journey together. We were both in 12-step programs and could connect that way. And she made a very large impact on me when she first welcomed me to the women's group. And I learned a lot from her. And I took in every word that she always said. She always said it with depth and honesty and had the most charisma, even though we only met each other over Zoom. And I will forever be grateful for that. And my condolences to all the family. And David, she always spoke so highly about you and about her children and being together with everybody for the holidays and for Shabbat. Would like to dedicate the women's group of our 12 steps of Jewish recovery, which I did share that book with Jessica since I had it back in the 80s. And I would like to dedicate our women's group meetings to Jessica Klein.
Thank you, Gail. That's kind of everyone. Beautiful words. Okay, and finally, Yaakov.
Firstly, let me send my deepest condolences to the family. Could everyone hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. I only spoke to Jessica a couple of times together, but I remember that someone told me that she was from Hollywood, California. And as they call me on in the High Center. I missed her Google. Right away, I want to go see who was this woman from Hollywood, California. But I didn't, because I was there for one reason. She was there for a similar reason. And it didn't matter who she was from Hollywood, California. And it wasn't until much, much later that I was bored one day and looked up the name Jessica Klein and saw the amazing work that she has done. She definitely touched my life. I will say, to end it, that I've personally known and been friendly with several people that are popular in entertainment, in the entertainment field. However, I have never, to this day, met a celebrity that is so beautiful inside and outside than Jessica Klein. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thanks for sharing. Okay, once again, David Ribelli, Robinson Hirschman, thank you all so much for joining. There was something that I had here looked up, but of course my phone moved away from it. There was something I wanted to end, which was from a text from her, but I guess I'll find it. And I hope to share, God willing, some of the things that she wrote to me. Of course, nothing private on sort of like a tribute page that we will have on our website, just some of the things that she wrote, and I lost it again. Okay, anyway, so once again, thank you all for joining. David, wish you and the entire family, Shira, Shia, all the kids, and David, we didn't meet before, and even Ribelli was just this past Hanukkah, and to the rest of the family who may at one point watch this, you know, our condolences from everyone at the High Center. As you can tell, we were family. Jessica was family. Here at the High Center, we're family. And that's the way Jessica treated us. And that's the way we treat Jessica. And that's the way we treat Jessica's family. We're all family. We will always be family. Hashem should help. As I mentioned before, that we hope that this year's Tisha B'Av will be the last of the Tisha B'Avs, and that we will, Mi'ez Hashem, be able to rejoice together. And when we hear the good news, Mi'ez Hashem, that I know that Jessica and I would also talk about at times about what will be in the future and the coming of Mashiach, and you know what things would happen. What are things going to look like? She was always very inquisitive, and Mi'ez Hashem, she should be she should be a good interceder on behalf of everyone, the entire family, the Chai family, the Jewish people, and should be a nechama for all of the Jewish people. Thank you once again, everyone, for joining. On a programming note, we are here back here tomorrow night, and 7:30 regular schedule. Things will never be the same without Jessica, but we will do our best. Once again, thank you so much for all those who were able to join and participate.
Thank you. Thank you to the family, and thank you, Rabbi, for making this happen tonight. I just thought that some of Jessica's texts or musing might be nice in the newsletter. You know, just little some of her texts.
Yep. Yeah.
So, all right. Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
me. And Helen, welcome. Helen, I'm sorry.
That's my. That's my mother.
Yes. I'm seeing now. I'm sorry. I didn't welcome before. So I apologize. I just, you know, my screen is sort of shrunk because I put up the picture of Jessica. So now as people are leaving, so now I see it in there. So once, thank you for joining us. Thank you so much. And you have a very special daughter.
Yes.
Carol, your candlestick story should be memorialized also on our High Center page. That's a pretty incredible story.
Jessica and I, thank you for reminding me in 10 seconds, Jessica and I realized that it's candlesticks that go way back. They're collector's items. And my mother and I saw them in her place and I looked at them, my gosh, they look like what I have. And I called up my daughter in Toronto and I said, can you send me a picture of those Shabbos candlesticks? I want to show Jessica. And I posted them on the women's group. So I have a picture, I believe, of Jessica's candlesticks that I can also share. So yes, thanks. That's Rabbi, a great memory too.
Rabbi, can I just add one thing here? You know, it's fascinating as a from Jew to see someone who is so entrenched in the depths of Hollywood life to come far out to actually make such a bold impression on myself. That it was so powerful, just the way she came out, never held back. It was never a feeling, but it was a thought, it was a fact of experience. And like I said, I went back and forth with her many times, and all she did was wanted to help and wanted to embrace and wanted to share. She never ever held back when someone needed an extra hand. It was huge.
Yeah.
Just two more things. One, David, thank you for the term mercifully honest. I really like that. And I remember Jessica saying that, you know, and now I'm thinking back to like Beverly Hills 90210, and it was a teaching show as well. And Jessica always put Jewish values, because it was such a part of her. Her Jewish values were part of her, and she wrote those values and those lessons into many of those shows. So I just now that I'm thinking about that. So anyway, thank you again. Good night.
Very good. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good night.
You're welcome. Great to see everyone. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night. See you tomorrow.